Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome to our show. This is Almeen, and what a delight to have to spend a whole hour together. I think I can live with that. We're going to get some exciting things going for you, and we've got Rogier Shade with us, and let's see what kind of things we can uncover today. Rogier, surprise us. Where shall we go?
Okay, today we are going to discuss The Riddle to Change All Life, which can be found on page 142 in Opening the Doors of Heaven. And I was just looking at it just now because I realized that just like the first few times I read it, I'm not exactly sure where exactly to pinpoint the riddle in it, unless the whole piece, the whole 1.5 pages is actually the riddle. Although I must say I do like the thing about the reversal of the law that we know as above, so below, as really being true in its opposite, namely as below, so above. But anyway, my question really boils down to if you would explain this riddle and how it is changing all life.
Of course. You know, I've got to confess something, that I hardly know what's written in my books, simply because I write it, you know, with total emptiness of mind, longhand on a piece of paper. That's how my books are written. And this was given to me, the riddle to change all life. Mother was speaking to me. And she was saying that this riddle is for you to put down in the book, and if you can solve it with all of humanity, then life changes. And then right following that, see, up until this point, everything that's in here, with the exception of some pieces that Mother gave directly, came from, and there's a little piece here also of a piece of papyrus that I just wanted to put some clarity on. But what we're dealing with is that up until this point, everything was translated from a set of plates. And the set of plates were gold with 3 gold rings. Then she told me to translate a little piece from another set of plates. They weren't gold. They were made of a green, emerald-like, but very hard material. And so, following this in the book, Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis, on page 142, we've got The Riddle to Change All Life. And by the way, folks, if you want that book today, that's just fine, because we now have it electronically available for you. So, the second part of that is the first prediction from the second volume of Isis. The volumes aren't numbered. It's just that she told me this is the second volume, but you're just going to do a tiny bit of it. And so there's just a few verses that I translated from that. But they had to go together. So I really don't know what this is talking about. So Rogier, if you'll bear with me, I'll just have to go through it with you and interpret it the best I can. The reason is that I have not stopped writing since, and so I haven't had the time to go back and study it. I've asked that people that get the book study it, because it's essential that the roots be put down of understanding. It's a service that
we do. But are you saying that you don't know what the riddle is exactly, or just that you don't know what the answer is?
Neither. But I've got the riddle in front of me, and so I will go through it bit by bit. So it says, it spoke to me and says, you're right, because I said, oh my gosh, this is never going to end, because this vision opened before me, and I saw how we've purified our cosmos, the long journey to get to the point where we are. Then I looked and saw trillions of similar cosmoses out there. And I thought, how can we ever get to the end of this? And I was in such despair. And then Mother said, you're right that the task you have will never be complete, but the way life is being purified is obsolete. You've carried more than you thought you could do, but deep inside you've said this cannot continue. You've been pushed to the point where the new must be born. A battle with the mirror is the battle that has been fought. And this is where we're really getting into the nitty-gritty of this piece. So let's just go up to this point. What Mother has said is so true. Because I was actually going, I can't keep going like this. I want to give the highest service I can to all life, but I am being pushed beyond where I think I can go. There, you know, there were times, I mean, that I had strokes and all sorts of other things because I was pushed beyond human boundaries, trying to bridge realities on behalf of humanity, my brothers and sisters. You know, I felt like I'd been beaten up. And that's why she said, you know, I heard you. You were saying this can't go on like this. And, you know, you've been pushed to the point where the new must be born is an interesting line because there's wisdom in it for all of us. I've been here before where I was at that point where I would say, this cannot go on like this. I actually very recently, about a week or two ago, was at that point where this can't go on. And then something in me gets angry. You know, and I know it's not directed any specific place because I know that I will find Mother's perfection anywhere I look. But I get angry. And see, if we think that this is unenlightened, the irritations we feel, my brothers and sisters, I get just furious, like I just want to throw things on the floor, kind of furious. I don't, but that's how I feel. That is very useful because it gives the impetus. Women that are pregnant and give birth, they often find times during the birthing process that there's irritation in them. This birthing process, when you feel in your life that your back is against the wall, that you can't go forward and you can't go backward, and you're darned if you do and darned if you don't, and you're furious about it, you are giving birth to a whole new way of life. And so that was that you've been pushed to the point where the new must be born. Now here comes part of this riddle. A battle with the mirror is the battle that has been fought. The mother on earth do higher mothers speak, but like someone between two mirrors, the images eternally recede. What life is, this is a very deep understanding that our minds will not grasp, but our hearts can. Everything outside of you, you're not actually seeing the real thing. What you're seeing is an image in a mirror because of the way reality is constructed. You see the apple on the table, but really you don't. You're seeing a mirror of the apple on the table because you're seeing its image on your retina. And the seeing part is the brain interpreting this image on the retina. All you can ever see of what's outside you, if I can use outside very tongue-in-cheek, is in fact the movie that's going on inside your head of what is outside of you. You do not perceive them directly. This is a very huge insight. So it says that the battle with the mirror, we've been fighting the mirrors of things. The different way that I've said it over the last couple of shows we've had is we've been trying to change the movie on the screen instead of changing the film in the projector. So this is what Mother is saying. What is the cosmos but a reflection of what is within? Yet the reflection you see is not what it seems. My brothers and sisters, perhaps I should read two more lines to clarify this. The reflection in the mirror is not a reflection of what is. That's why it's not what it seems. What you're seeing isn't reality. It can only the potential of the one life be. So what is the cosmos but a reflection of what is within? Because it is from within you that the energy source to make this whole movie happen is coming. The yogis have a teaching that is quite beautiful, and you find this, I think, in Raja Yoga, or maybe it's Gnani Yoga, also that teaches this. And what it teaches is that you are the center of the universe. End of story. It's accurate. This is exactly what this is saying. You are the real point, because within your heart, the potential of the infinite comes through. Therefore, because you are enlivened by the infinite, what is in your heart is real. What is outside of you isn't. Because, see, that goes back to the previous verse. What is outside of you, my brothers and sisters, that you think you're seeing isn't what you're seeing. It's a reflection on the retina of your eye. It's a reflected light that bounces through the cornea into the retina. It then has to be interpreted as impulses by the brain. This is all you can grasp. You cannot grasp the actual infinite essence in each being. And it isn't what you're seeing, which is why we have harped and harped and harped on this issue of you cannot take life at face value. You are seeing a projection. You are seeing images on a movie screen. It's flat. It's two-dimensional. You're not seeing the three-dimensional, because the movie screen is your retina. You're seeing unreal images. And so the only thing in your awareness that is real is yourself. Hence, you are the center of your universe. And whatever is out there can be changed by changing the real point of life, your heart. Let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any of the books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. And we're in the middle of discussing the riddle to change all life on page 142 of Opening the Doors of Heaven. And some fascinating things have been discovered. See, a lot of what I told you earlier, I didn't know before. So I have learned tremendously, and this is my gift for doing these radio shows with you folks, is that if I just stay in silence, I learn so much, because my mouth will speak it, and there we have it. So let's continue with this. It says, the part I want to repeat, that the reflection in the mirror, which is your environment, is not a reflection of what is. vision cannot directly perceive something. It perceives through reflection on the retina. It can only the potential of the one life be. Thus, all you see is potential of what could be, like an embryo that slumbers and dreams. That is so important. Let me just read it one more time for us. I can feel something very deep lingering here. It can only the potential of the one life be. Thus, all you see is potential of what could be, like an embryo that slumbers and dreams. This is a commentary at one level of the level of life within the cosmos. The infinite being created creations in a flat screen. It was created then, a bigger screen, a bigger screen. Eventually it went to 3D virtual reality. Then eventually the 3D virtual reality is like a hologram in terms of that it's solid enough you can touch one another. But my brothers and sisters, all of what we've accomplished so far is really just in embryonic state. And life, thinking that we know what life is like a little embryo that slumbers and dreams, though it knows nothing of life. So, what is life? It's a reflection of the potential of the infinite, or if you will, an expression of the potential of the infinite. It is something that is a work in progress. It is absolutely the infinite mother and father's intent that we become real. Currently, how does mother interact with father? Mother is as much masculine as she is feminine, but she has turned her feminine side up. Father's the same because he's a full reflection of what she is. His masculine side is turned up. Mother, however, is not made from the fields of life, the essence of life, the building blocks of life, all these things, the frequency, the light, even the love, these are not things she's made of. She is producing that. And so what happens is that what is out there is made from something different than what she is. It is like hands in a glove that reach into the puppeteer's puppet stage to manipulate the puppets or to interact with the puppets with your fingers. You're not on that stage, yet you're reaching into that stage, but you need the gloves. Mother has decreed in the book of the one life that determines the nature of her reality that there is an entire shielding system around her in interacting with anything that she creates. From her heart comes light and love and joy and passion and all these frequencies and awareness and life force and all of this. It's not what she's made of, so they shield it till it leaves her space and enters into our space, which is the puppeteer stage. How does mother interact with father? They're not made from the same things because mother created father with a glove on so that it doesn't in fact pollute each other or be scorching in the feeling to him. Frequently, my brothers and sisters, I have heard snippets of conversation in which the father talks to the mother and vice versa about the scorching feeling that happens when mother's light rises and father gets scorched by it. And it's a feeling of discomfort for both of them. That has been solved because mother now interacts with any of the creatures that she has created, the beings she's created, even her beloved one, the father that she's created. She interacts with the building blocks of life and the fields with shields so that non-matter can interact with matter. There's not a hand in that glove. There's something else but it maintains the form of the glove and it can interact. So the nature of what we are is a reflection of potential of what is yet to become real. This little embryo hasn't yet been born. Now it says, the words I have given in this book hold the key to change life in a new way never before seen. Let me help you more in that you should know. A cosmic law based on illusion to you I will show. Let's just look at that really quickly. Many of you ask in your emails, how can we help with this work? How can we in our own lives participate in it? My brothers and sisters, she is saying, there are secrets in this book, 144 levels deep. Excuse me, there's got to be so many secrets, I can't even think. So the words given in this book hold the key to change life in a new way never before seen. I do not have the time. Mother has given me currently 5 books that are going simultaneously. If you could study this and find the insights, because of the exponential relay of information, the minute you have the insights, beings have it all over the cosmos. I'll have it. That is enormously helpful. Because, as Mother says, it will change life. Now she discusses a law that's based on illusion. Let's see what it is. As below, so above. A valid law to know. This is valid. But not so the law that says as above, so below. Wow. So she says that as above, so below, meaning that the higher realms can determine life on earth, is not accurate. When we say as below, so above, that humanity can evolve all of the cosmos, which I've frequently told you why that's the case and how it's the case on these shows, she is saying that is valid.
One thing, though, before you go on, because it's very
interesting,
what kind of strikes me, though, is that earlier it does seem in the second paragraph, speaking of the mother on earth to higher mothers speak, that would kind of give the impression that the higher mothers are not on earth, where eventually it would seem to turn out that the truth is actually the inversion of how it's stated there.
Well, they weren't on earth, no.
But they weren't higher either.
They were higher, you see, in terms of frequency. Higher octaves of life.
Okay, but they weren't higher in terms of primacy.
That's the point she's making. Aha, you're onto something.
Thank you.
The point she's making, see? Because she says that she speaks to higher mothers. Yet down here she says that the higher realms do not determine the lower realms. It's the lower realms that determines the higher realms. That would apply equally to the mother on earth vis-a-vis the mothers in higher realms that used to be. Now, I would say used to be, my brothers and sisters, because the principles are what we're looking at. But in fact, since this book was published, the Infinite has done away with all of her other aspects. And because they were just mirror images, and what the mirror images do is they keep open an imaginary space. Through mirrors, it looks like it goes into eternity when you peek over your shoulder backwards or you look forwards. Well, that's an imaginary space. And space is also illusion. So Mother removed those aspects of herself, and that linear space was done away with. A very key component into healing duality and polarity, as we've explained on previous shows. So you're exactly right, Rogier. It's the mother on earth that determines all life, not those mirror aspects of herself.
Okay, but then to go on, because I really like the as below, so above law, not just because it kind of just inverts whatever sort of spiritual conditioning we may have, but please go on.
Well, and Andrew, here the other thing is, I like it too, because it is so essential. If we read the book, The Gift of the Unicorns, in terms of the history of the cycles, you see the infantile stages of the development of creation vis-a-vis its creator. How it was in total dependency, and then it was in codependency, then it was in trying to be very independent, you know, basically sort of a teenager. And then, you know, it has to develop to interdependency and even beyond. And so, so what is important, is that we actually get that there is a growing up to do, and the growing up to do has to do with self-responsibility. And we're onto something when we start talking about self-responsibility. Let's hold that thought and go on. Potential cannot change that from which it sprung. See, the mirrors in your environment cannot affect you, because you're the only real point in looking out there at the mirrors in your environment. So the unreal, we've already determined that what you see is that apple on the table isn't in fact the real apple. It's a movie projection of the apple on the retina of your eye. You're seeing a movie. It's unreal. The movie cannot affect you. Potential cannot change that from which it sprung. Something cannot change the source from which it's begun. Only one mother is the source of all others. But like an embryo on earth, she still slumbers, examining herself in her endless dreams. She alters potential till it acceptable seems. Oh, there is this huge secret lying behind this one. Good thing it's potty break. Let me go puzzle it out.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness. The state of no longer identifying with the ego in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almin has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
We have stumbled onto something quite big here, my brothers and sisters. Let's just read it one more time so we all know what we're talking about. It says, only one mother is the source of all others. Now we know that. We said that this is the mother here on earth. But like an embryo on earth, she still slumbers, examining herself in her endless dreams. She alters potential till it acceptable seems. Why is your environment called a reflection of potential by mother in these words that she gave me? A potential for what? I mean, why didn't she just call it a reflection? She has said that if we can understand what she is speaking in here, my brothers and sisters, and there are multiple layers, so don't think when I've gone through today with my two cents words that it's the end of it. Look at it. Feel it with your heart. Every time you grow, you will get another layer. If we can understand her words, a whole new way of life will begin. Mother is an embryo. All these cycles, the history of life, that to us is very real and we need to learn from it because we don't want to repeat it. It's a parable, if you will, in that even though it is past and even though mother has erased the past, there is now still the learning component to be done. And the more we can learn from it, the better. So, the past that we have gone through, this history of the cycles given in the second half from these history keepers of the cosmos, the darklings to me, I took it down as a dictation, as I've said to you before. All of that is a dream. And mother, like a little embryo, has lain and dreamt. And she has examined herself in the mirrors of her dream. Initially, not knowing which was her and which was not. Because there was no self-knowledge. This has been a very major issue. When I said, you know, I spoke to you about this a few shows ago, I said, Mother, dear, why did you not trust in your perfection? And she said to me, how did I know I was perfect? You see, you cannot know your own perfection until you even define it by what it's not. That you've witnessed your first place where there's imperfection. There was lack of self-knowledge when Mother began her dream. And she was confused by the dream. She put a wild card in the dream in giving the characters of her dream freedom of choice, volition. And what they mirrored to her at times was distortion. And at times it was not. And she couldn't understand which part am I and which part am I not. When she finally understood it, it was August of 2006. So there have been dreams within a dream within a dream. We are still in a dream. Mother still has to interact with us in the dream like gloves into a puppeteer stage with the puppets. So, the potential, if we get what we are talking about here, will be that we no longer see the screen. That we actually see directly. When that principle comes, because there are insights around it that need to be gotten, maybe during the rest of this, I don't know. But if we get that, how to see directly, it will be that the dream for mother has become real. There's a song, I think it's some of the golden oldies or something, it's a Sweet 16, and it speaks about out of my dream and into my heart, you know, you're my angel divine and so on. It's So that is exactly what we have to become for Mother. We have to walk out of her dream and into her life. So there's no longer gloves reaching into a puppeteer stage. That's when potential is realized. For us, if we can achieve that, then we can perceive directly, not just reflection of potential. So I don't know how that is to be done, but perhaps there are secrets in here. The linear way of solving problems is part of DNA that spirals. Did you not notice when DNA is aligned that it no longer spiraled but made a straight line? Often you've wrestled with these endless dreams, asking, why is there distortion? How can it be? When the six perpetrators by the treacherous God was made, he stole six strands of a reflected mother's DNA. See, all this drama, my brothers and sisters, that is worth telling because it's part of our past that has been erased. But all this drama of the perpetrators who impersonated the true God of truth, which we did not encounter until August of 2007, are in fact part of a bad dream. And so Mother is saying the linear way of solving problems is part of the DNA that spirals. In the book, Journey to the Heart of God, there is the anatomy of change, and it speaks about how change goes through three very distinct stages of transformation, transmutation, transfiguration, over and over, spiral up, you know. So that's how it goes, because we have spirals of awareness at that time. This has changed. Now, it's still important to know that, because you will still be living those stages. They're just not linearly following one another. They're intermingled in a field. Because awareness itself shattered in August and became tiny little bits and stopped moving. And so Mother is saying that that's the old way of solving problems. And she said, don't fight external circumstances. You know, if you fight external circumstances, you're going to end up with, battling with those windmills. So you just don't want to fight with things in the mirrors of your life. That is why the strands separated have been. Some steeped in illusion have you seen in the dream, a dream of potential of that which could come. If the strands are separated and not joined into one. In other words, Mother is saying, unless these things were perfected in the mirror of her life, in the dream for her, it could have become a reality. So all these perpetrators, all the things that she's been fixing, is because she wanted to carefully examine what was life-enhancing and what was not, placing what was life-enhancing into the book of reality. It's like a sleeping prophet writing down for themselves what they see. So when they wake up, it becomes their reality. Also, the separation linear time would create, creating illusion in some strands of DNA. The illusion that cause and effect are one. That the results can affect the cause from which it sprung. Solve now this riddle. Find a new way to create the reality you want this day. Look at power from a different point of view. A new perception will be birthed by you. Aha! Here's the secret. My brothers and sisters, power doesn't actually move. It stays immovable, but it moves everything around it. How does it move everything around it? By changing the matrix. Now, let's go through this in a different way. The presence particles, the the original building blocks of life were the subatomic material particles. They were the self-perception particles, very unique little particles. And then they were perception particles, light and love particles joined into one, awareness particles. Then there were cosmic life force particles. And then there was a particle that was the highest octave in terms of high, in terms of frequency, that I called, because I didn't have a name for it, I called it presence particles. The presence particles is what holds power. It's also what holds the big pattern that seldom changes. It seldom moves. But the big pattern is where the power is. So it's immovable, but it affects what is around it, and that is what it moves. If we stand like the heron, who under attack by its mortal enemy, the ego, has been observed by naturalists to plant its feet firmly in the mud, raise its beak to the oncoming eagle flying through the air at dizzy speed, and it stands braced and poised, and when the eagle tries to grab its prey, the beak will pierce its heart. It's through its immovable power that the heron triumphs. This is the principle. This is the secret. If we get this, we understand that to change life without, we don't move a muscle. We simply change it as a pattern within. Please bear with me. We've got a few commercials coming and we'll be right back.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
The one line that has stood out to me in the riddle to change all life is the line where it says, examining herself in her endless dreams, she alters potential till it acceptable seems. My brothers and sisters, we are the microcosm of the macrocosm. Our reality isn't real either. It is but a reflected dream. And so, what is that dream's purpose? It is for perception. But you can only have self-perception in a way. Thus, all perception is self-perception, in that the only things you can recognize are things that are within you. If you recognize them without, it's because they exist within. And so it is necessary that we examine ourselves in our environment. It is the total doing away of victimness. Victimhood. Then if we don't like what we see, standing immovable like the heron, we simply change what is within. Now another layer will reveal itself. If we still don't like it, just like Mother, she alters potential till it acceptable seems. We see again, what is the next layer it represents? And so on. You see, my brothers and sisters, there is usually not just a single layer of threads in the tapestry before us. It's multi-layered. There are times when one red thread is in the front, that the blue thread is in the back. And so there are hidden threads as they weave in and out. If you don't like the red, you change the red. But, you know, then it's going to reveal that behind it, there's another one to change and another. It's multi-layered. And so it is the full, but full, responsibility of life that we take upon ourselves. We become the center of our universe, the center of the cosmos, what masters have always known. And it is from that place of total silence, not opposing life in any way, because to oppose life is to oppose ourselves. To do that, that is how it changes. Rogier, is there anything obtuse, or did you want me to go on to the next few verses of that the first prediction, or what would you like
well,
to do?
Well, there was one thing which kind of I was wondering about, namely that if we say, well, we say this, you know, what you've just said now, not opposing life, the secret to power, we change it as a pattern within, you know, we don't move a muscle, so to speak. But I just wondered what, there's kind of like a thin line between that and tolerating dysfunctionality, I would think, because it might also kind of be taken to imply that we shouldn't really do anything about that in any outward way, and just kind of only do it within.
When something is before us, it's challenging us. And it either says to us, I'm yours to fight the battle, meaning the battle, you know, this sounds contradictory to this issue of the battle, but I've said a battle is a battle for perception. So it's saying to you, I have something to teach you. About what? About ourselves. So we either get the perception and what is in front of us moves away, but we also have a fiduciary responsibility to others in our environment. Let's say they do something unacceptable and it violates our boundaries. It is for us to say, this is not acceptable, so that they may learn. It's not a favor to tolerate dysfunctionality, because it's actually, you know, it's not very enlightened at all, because when you tolerate the unacceptable, no one learns. You get your lessons. You thank them very much for your lessons, but you want to make sure that if they don't change, that you voice your truth. But my brothers and sisters, there is yet another thing. You can voice your truth, but understand, few can hear you. So sometimes that too is a waste of energy. It is just better that your actions speak for you. People are steeped in dialogue in their heads. With a dialogue in one's head, true listening cannot take place. They have everything to prove and nothing to learn. We have everything to learn and nothing to prove. And so, you know, the defense mechanisms around most people are huge, because it keeps down the painful experiences of their past. Whereas if they just got the insights, they don't need to keep reliving them. They keep coming in our face to try and have us get their insights. Does that answer that, or?
Yes, it does. I was just waiting for you to go on.
Okay, well, I don't quite know what to go on with answering your question. So,
no, you said you wanted to go on with the verse, or I think the next paragraph, maybe.
Yes, let's do that. Long will you labor a cycle to complete. Long will you toil the ascension to increase. Gates will you open, battles you'll fight. All this you'll do to increase the light. But what you will do will strengthen the unreal too. Not for naught are the great deeds that you do. In other words, what you fight, you strengthen, my brothers and sisters. It's never an outer battle. You might state your truth, or otherwise you may as well go and sit on a mountaintop. It's part of the respect of relationship. But at the same time, all battles are within. Otherwise, we strengthen the unreal as well. But Mother is saying that all this time that we've been fighting outer battles and making the mirrors of our life real to ourselves, treating them like, you know, the child does their robe hanging in the corner of their room. They're quite sure it's some horrible creature or a wolf or something. So we treat them as though they're real. You can put the light on, show the child this is nothing but your robe, but you put the light off and it's a wolf again for the child. So this is how we've acted. But Mother has said that not for naught were these great deeds that humanity has done. A book of wisdom, those that are light beacons will write. This you will need when you do it right. So Mother is saying that the book of life mentioned in the New Testament as the definitive reality, it's the laws of reality. The wisdom in it is gained from the experiential knowledge, from all the, quote, mistakes we made, now that we are up on the mountain and we can look down at all the places we could have stepped here or stepped there. But when you're on climbing the cliff, it's not that easy to gauge that. You know, we often look back, and Shakespeare wrote about, it was Emerson that wrote about this. He said that often when you look back on your own life, it's so amazing how harsh we are with ourselves. How could I have done that? But the bottom line of it is the wisdom you have today that can see that you got from those mistakes. And really, that's what Mother is saying. What you have done since the ascension did begin now must be done in the cosmos within. The book of life must apply within. You must know. Though the streams, through the streams of your blood, do cosmoses flow? Whoa, there's another big secret behind that one. A riddle will be given, not as easy as it seems, of a new way growth and perception to glean. All life will change when the truth is uncovered of what life is. Then the answer will be discovered. It's a dream, my brothers and sisters. It's Mother's dream. And she wants the dream to become real. Because if the dream goes away, all there is Mother. But it's the same in our lives. And if we want to become real to Mother and evolve life in that way, we've got to solve it within our lives with the dream of our own environment. Thank you so very much for sharing this hour with us. And Rogier, I loved this discussion. This is my passion, the deep metaphysical work. You know, the rest is what I'm doing because I'm instructed to do it and gladly and joyfully, but this is my passion. So thank you for allowing this theme to unfold. It's been wonderful for me.
You're welcome.
We'll be with you next week, folks.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Almeen. Please join us again next week.